Hey guys, welcome back to May I Talk. This is the show where we sit and we do not zip it. My name is Mo Dami, whatever name you know me as, May, as some people call me. And I've always been your host, but today I'm like super excited about what I want to discuss. And I have a guest in the house, her name is Miss June. And today we're here to talk about drug addiction, our experience and all of it. And this is actually super exciting for me because she accepted my invitation. Hi, Miss June. How are you?
Hello, Miss Mo. How are you too?
Fine. I'm so happy you're here today. Yeah. So how's life been with you, especially during this pandemic? How is work and all of it? Are you holding up?
We've been keeping it on lockdown. It's a global thing, so we just have to survive through it. Hopefully it gets better soon. Well, it has not been easy. But we do maintain. That's the cool.
I feel, yeah, that's it. So first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for accepting my invitation to come talk about your experience and how it changed your life and all of it. And I just want to let you know that what you're doing here today will definitely touch the life of one or two persons listening to this podcast, and hopefully your story will touch someone's life out there. And thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so let's dive right into it. I know that we spoke outside the recording about, you know, one or two things about what your experience is like, and I would like you to share it with the world. So I'll be asking you some couple of questions, and then we'll just have like a proper conversation. So feel free to talk about anything you want to talk about. Whatever you want to hold back, it's totally fine by me. And we'll just see. So my first question for you is, you were a user, right? And okay. What were you using to start with before even, you know, asking the next question? What was it that you were using?
I've tried lots of psychoactives. Okay. I've tried weed when I was in university, but I wasn't really into it. Okay. Like, I tried normal friends. You try things around, but the main thing I really got hooked on was crack cooking.
So, crack cooking. Wow. So that is totally different from cocaine, or it's just cocaine?
It's a byproduct of cocaine. Like, I don't know. Like, it's another mixture. You know, cocaine is the powdery form, and this crack is another solution mixed together to make it the solid form. I don't know. Crack. It's just crack. If you Google it, it's just crack. It's crack.
All right. Okay, so the first time you used crack cocaine, how did you get it? Where did you buy it? And what was the feeling like for you after you used it? And just give it to me. I'm curious.
Okay, let me start it this way. You know, because I've tried lots of things before, like several psychoactives, weed and everything. So I was in the gathering. Okay, I was with my boyfriend and his friends, and they were taking this, and I just saw it on the table, like a white substance. I was looking, what is this? I didn't understand, so I wanted to feel among. Okay, let me join the party, you get.
Okay,
so the guy passed it to me through a case, and instantly my brain, you know, that catalyst, that fast reaction. So I felt it, I enjoyed it, and that was how it started. The other time, it passed it through a case. Then, after the other time, I wasn't comfortable again. I wanted to take it from the main source. So I took a pipe. I tried mine too. That was how it started.
Wow.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
When it started, funny enough, when I started using it, like my first three times that I started using it, I never knew the name of what I was smoking. I didn't know what they call it. I just saw it's something white they put on the table. I don't have a source to get in it. I don't know nobody else that takes it. Just the like just the clique I was with. I don't even know the name. Yeah, they have this street name, they call it Charlie, but I don't know. I don't know if it is cook, it is crack. So that was how it started. So to my amazement, there was just the day I think I was doped up or something, and I just made a careless statement. I'm like, ah, of all this highness, I don't try for my life. But for school, I smoke weed. For school, I lick ref. For school, I do this. I will never try cocaine in my life. Now, you guys can't look me shocked. Yeah, you never try cocaine. This one way they do, because waiting in the column.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, what do you mean? This one way they do, waiting in the column. Is this cocaine? Is that, sit down there. This is crack. I'm like, what is crack?
Oh, God.
Then it's like, went online, checked about it, Bomo, everything I saw every details about the drug, but then I was already liking it. Not even already, I don't like them. Do you understand? So,
Wow, this is, I mean, I've spoken to like 2-3 human beings that have dealt with drug addiction before, and the story of how they started is different from yours. Yours seems so fascinating. It's like you didn't even know what you were doing, but you were enjoying it.
But I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so for how long were you on drugs? How many years?
Let me be honest with you. Okay. I finished school 2016. Then I was in late. I was running around with people. So okay, let's say 2016.
So 4 years.
No, I stopped last year.
Oh, so 3 years. Wow, 3 years. So okay, so now okay. Wow, this is so fascinating. I don't know. I have so many questions I want to ask you all at once, but I will try as much as possible to take it easy right here. So you were on crack cocaine for 3 years. And when was the first time you actually took your money to buy it yourself? Because, you know, you didn't want to depend on people buying for you anymore.
What time?
What did you say?
The fourth time, like my fourth attempt of at smoking it.
How did you find someone who sells it? You reached out to the same clique.
I gave the money to the guy. No, I gave the money to the guy because you know, together. Practically, I was in their midst then because I was working on the island then, so I was living there. Do you get? I had another place that I could live, but because I have my own enjoyment and all of that, so I choose to always go there after work.
Okay.
Oh, and it's not. I don't have the money to buy. So I just gingered one day. That's it now. I want to smoke. Let's buy. So I just gave the guy money and the guy bought for me. And
okay. So, okay. All right. So now I want to ask you, I don't know how personal this will be, but let me ask you this. I speak to a lot of people because people speak to me about their issues, and it's something that I really derive joy from, having to talk to people and having to help them. Now, I know a friend of mine who started taking drugs because of trauma. Did you think that did you experience any sort of trauma before you started, you know, taking Refnol, weed smoking and all of that? Or did you just wanted to actually feel among, like you said?
I was never traumatized. I had no problems. I had no issues I was dealing with. I was just a girl trying to live life. Trying to...
La vida loca.
I was never traumatized, and when the trauma started, the same drug was what caused the trauma. But before my life before drugs, I was never traumatized. I was just this girl that likes to party, make people hang out, drink, smoke, dance, shake bum, quick, and all of that. So that's just the taste.
Okay, so whenever you take this crack cocaine, where do you find yourself? Like, I know a lot of people say, oh, when you smoke marijuana, you are happy, you're hungry, you're sleepy, you're horny, you are just carefree. So when you take crack cocaine, is it the same feeling? Do you feel this happiness inside of you, or are you just blank, you know, mentally? Tell me, how can you remember how you used to feel whenever you take crack cocaine?
Okay, when I started taking crack with the guy I was with then, the feeling was dope. I like it. I was enjoying it. I can't explain how I feel, but it's I'm looking for this grammar that I can use that will make sense very well. I don't okay. The feeling was very, very dope. Let's just put it that way. But when I broke up with the guy and already I have access to the plug, me that buying already, so I can contact the plug myself. So I started buying myself. Then the whole trips changed completely for me. When I was with the guy and I was taking it, it was a cool cruise, like an enjoyable cruise. Do you understand? So when I started, I left him and I started buying on my own to take on my own. I started meeting other people, taking together. I started like, do you know, it was now different then. I started having different sad experiences, different funny situations. I my work well, I couldn't manage myself well, I couldn't manage a lot of things well, I couldn't manage my family well, I couldn't manage relationships well. So that was just the whole episode.
Now, because I was going to ask you this question about what your life was, when you started taking crack cocaine, how it affected, because I know a lot of people, I know some people that are like walking addicts. Walking addicts are people who can function despite the fact that they are like addicted to a particular substance. You are not a walking addict, were you? Because you said you could not
What?
finish a job.
I didn't say I could not finish. Funny enough, when I was using crack, I was working. First, I had a job with an hospitality firm, normal job. Then again, I was doing small other run-ins. I was doing business, little side business. Okay, at a point in life, so I got a job in an oil company, like a downstream oil company. I was managing them, but I wasn't understanding myself. Do you get? But I
So
was
you, because you
cleaning my.
smoke to work? You smoke to work, right?
Mommy, I can smoke all night, then I'll go to work the next day. I'll shine my eye like this at the computer, get things done. Like, I don't smoke and I can't be proactive. I smoke it then, and I can still be active at work. I can still look for ways to make money, look for ways to help the growth of the company and all of that. But deep inside of me, I was already creating a demon. I could not
Control.
figure out. I could not control. So that's it. It's not as if the drug messed me up, that I was misbehaving at work, I was fighting people. No, like up to that point, I was still very, very productive while on it. I could smoke all night, and 8 o'clock, I'm at the office looking at my signatures and everything. But that's not what I wanted then. They're having different issues, different dramas, different. The basic thing, I couldn't manage relationship, especially
I was gonna ask you that. How?
people that were not on the same wave, like people we don't do drugs together. Do you get? Because this crack of a thing is not something you do on the open. Like, I think weed now is something anybody can do anywhere, but you have to look for a very secretive place to be. So I started keeping distance. I just want to go to work, make money, come back from work, hide in my house, smoke what I want to smoke. Any appointment, cancel it. Even though I won't even know it's time, I'll just keep making different. It's just like, I don't know. It's not as if the thing messed me up mentally that I can't be productive, I can't keep up with work and all of that, but every
It
other
messed
way.
you up socially. It messed you up in a way
It
whereby you didn't you found happiness in your own self by being by yourself, and it was the happiness was with the drugs. It wasn't even necessarily with humans.
Yes, exactly.
Let me ask you this. I'm sure you have friends. When you go out with friends, do you back then did you used to hold it with you and do it in toilets? Because I know those are things that, I watch it in movies. People do it in toilets in parties.
Yes, I used to then. I used to always have it on me
And you were never
because
scared that one day police could stop you
let
and
me
steal from you.
tell you something. Funny enough, let me tell you something. Then when we started, I mentioned that when I was in school, I tried weed, I tried alcohol, I tried Refno and all of that. But the moment I started smoking crack, I fell out with all other things I've ever tried in my life. So it was basically, and cigarette. So even when I'm with people that are smoking weed, it doesn't fascinate me. It won't even be like, say, I don't smoke the weed before. Like the smell nauseates me. Like I can't even force myself to smoke
because,
it.
So because the level, my whole, the highness of weed, you know, reach the highness of crack now. Abi, now why?
I mean, I actually love weed. I love weed smokers because they are always happy and they are always on cruise. But you know, crack kindness is a very lost cruise. You go walk or so no when you go just the lost up and down.
Oh my god. Okay. All right, so I get it. So now let me ask you this, right?
I'm listening.
Apart from the fact that you enjoyed the cruise of being high, what else made you keep taking drugs?
Because I couldn't stop it.
Oh, wow. And did you times actually ever feel like you needed to stop it at that time? Was there any
time? Yeah, lots of times I end up smoking. I get hungry. I throw my stem at the wall to break and I start crying because I'm tired. Like, I'm tired, but I just cannot stop smoking it. There was even this time that I felt, if I stopped taking this thing, then I was very dependent on it. That almost every day after work, I. So at the point that now I felt if I leave this thing for 2 days, if I'm in public, I could start itching. You know, all those things I see in movies and all of that. So I was really scared of that. So to avoid that, I was seeing money and I was buying because I never want to get to that point that I'll be on the street, I'll start itching and I'll start doing all of that. That was my main fear. Of wanting to stop. But then again, so when my family got to know about it, I went to rehab and all of that. So I'm like, I didn't even want to do it again. Like I'm tired, but number one, I keep doing it because I still it's not as if I enjoy it, but I still have to do it. You know, there's a thin line between you enjoying something and you having to do something. So then at the point I wasn't enjoying it anymore, but I have to do it. Do you understand?
Yeah, I do.
And another fear I had was, I don't want to be outside and I'll start itching. I'll start sniffing. I didn't know I could stay away from smoking for 3 weeks without itching, without doing all those funny, funny things. I mean, I felt, you know, all those things you see in movies. I don't know if you know what I'm trying to say.
I do.
Do you understand?
I do.
So that was my main fear. I'm like, I don't want to start itching. I don't want to start. So when I see money, I buy it just to satisfy the cravings and all of that. Because yes, I do crave for it. But the first 3 weeks I did at the rehab, I went to rehab. I wasn't psychotic. I had no psychosis. It was just pure drug addiction and how to stay away from drugs.
So
different therapy classes, social therapy classes. I was placed on vitamins. Games, we're watching movies and every other thing. So that was how I got to realize that, okay, this thing is still something you can just do socially and not abuse. But there's no way you will do crack socially and not abuse it. That drug is a demon. Do you understand? The best thing is don't benusi. Once you benusi, you always do it. So it's not just a drug you just want to do socially. So let's not just say, do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do. So now, with what you've said, yes, I knew I was going to dive into the part of you walking your path to cleanliness and all of that. Yeah. So definitely when you were taking crack, your family didn't know about it. At what point did they find out that, on fire, cocaine, and what was their reaction?
They were disappointed because they would never expect me to smoke that kind of a thing. Because you know, someone that smokes crack, someone that smokes, like, your parents can't expect you to have a job, a paying job. You're living fine. You're doing your thing yourself. You're not disturbing them for money. You're sending them money.
So they were disappointed with what you were doing. So I'm sure they will not believe that you could actually do such. But how did they actually find out that you were actually doing crack? What was the situation? How?
Because it got to a point that I was careless.
Okay.
I threw caution to the wind. Then
you,
I was
you did
living.
What?
I threw caution to the wind, like, okay. You know. I was just careless and they got to know.
Were you sick? Did someone report you?
Someone actually reported me.
Wow. Wow. I could have imagined how the first reaction would have been like.
So let me give you the main. When someone reported me, they still didn't believe. So my brother was coming to my house. I didn't know he was coming to check for things. He was coming to check for evidences and all of that. So under my bed, I have ash tray filled with cigarettes. That was the first evidence. He saw it, he snapped it. Inside that ash tray, there was a stem. He snapped it. Then I got to office the following day because, yeah, I was working for a family friend. I got to office the following day and my boss said, We need to do a test for medical clinical. They were just talking plenty English, okay? Me, I did not even understand anything. So yeah, they conducted a test for everybody, but my own test was toxicology. I never knew.
Oh, so my God.
The day after the test, I got to the office. I actually got late to the office. I was doped up, like multi high quality. So he just called me at 10 AM. So I just felt it was normal work activities. Like I just felt it was normal work activities then. Said, you do drugs. I'm like, okay, what drugs? I'm not doing any drugs. What do you mean? I swear to God, yes, I'm not lying to you. I used to drink. I used to party. I used to smoke cigarette, but drugs. Me, I don't used to do drugs, though. He just placed the test result at me. Look at it. You tested positive for cocaine. Cocaine and morphine. Like plenty names that I've never even heard in my life before. And all I know I take is Charlie. And you know all those people that you buy drugs from, you don't know the mixture, you don't know anything. I don't even know what morphine is. I don't know it's actually one of the solutions they used in making all of those things. So that was it. And while I was at his office, my dad was parked outside. I didn't know. And he just pushed the paper to me to resign. I was begging him. I'm like, oh God, please, please don't let, please. Okay, yes, I did. Please. Okay, don't worry. I'm ready to work for 3 months without salary. Please just forgive me. I'll never do it. He said, no. I didn't know it was all planned up. My parents, him, and all of that. So I just went to my desk. I packed my things. I was looking, how will I explain this one in the house now? What will I say? As I got outside of our company's gate, I just saw my father and my brother. And I started crying. Everybody now started crying. It should have ended in tears that day for all of us.
Wow. Great. So from there, did you go home or it was straight to rehab?
It was straight to rehab.
Oh, boy. The first time you were in rehab, how did you feel?
I didn't feel anything. I just saw mad people.
with different
issues. I saw different people dealing with different things: anxiety, anger issues, psychosis, schizophrenia. I don't know if I pronounced it correctly. Depression.
Wow.
Everything. Different people.
So it was Yaba left, or where was it?
Yeah, Yaba left.
Damn. Okay, so the first night you slept in rehab, did you think, okay, you're going home the next day, or you knew you were going there?
No. I knew I wasn't going home the next day because when we got there and the doctor administered me and everything, he did an IQ test for me. I did not even know he was trying to get his evaluation and all of that. So he now told my dad that we're going to let her stay there. All she's dealing with is drug addiction, nothing more. Because they were asking me a series of questions. In fact, they now turned me to mathematician. They made me more maths. They started from 100 minus 7. My brain was booting. That result minus 7, minus 7, minus 7, minus 7, minus 7, you know, and I was answering correctly, so they felt okay. And they asked every other question. So the man drew his conclusion that it was just drug addiction. He asked how he started, He asked everything. How do I feel when I'm craving? What are my fears? He asked everything. Then, in my presence, he told me we're going to administer you for 1 month.
Okay, so
And let's see.
the first 5 days without, crack in the rehab, did you want to get out? How did you feel?
Get out because even before I went to rehab, I was already getting tired, but I didn't know the best way to help myself. And the people I was talking to, they were the wrong people, maybe because I wasn't listening to them. Not really wrong people, because some of them would rat me out, some of them would make jest of me, some of them would talk to other friends about me, some of them will, everybody, like everybody has their gatherings, they speak out of your situation. So because I knew I needed help, it was that time for me to get help, and my family came out to be the best help I could get. So I was enjoying the process. Rehab was sweet too, I swear to God Almighty. But for psychosis patients, it may not be sweet because you see them trying to jump out of the fence, escaping. And I never did any of that because there you play games, you watch. And for drug patients is different from psychosis patients. Anger patients is different. But at the time, you all come together to share stories and experiences. So my home world was okay because I was in drug this thing. There are people problem. There are the psychosis has entered their home. So you know how to reach different people, and there are some people you see them back like real madness. That even they have to trick them before they get calm. So I never wanted to escape.
Okay, so
There.
okay, so you've been clean for a year now, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first time after you left rehab, when you came out, did you actually go back to drugs? Because I know that quitting is not as easy as what everyone says it is. Did you actually think about doing it again, or did you actually do it again? And if you did, at what point did you feel like, okay, you know what? Otito, I'm done. This is it.
When I came out of rehab, I did it again. But when I did it again, one thing I learned at the rehab was control. Do you understand? I did it again. I did it for 7 years before I finally stopped. Because I'm not like this one I'm doing now. I'm on my own. Nobody will give me money. Nobody trusts me with money again. Do you understand? I have to also for myself. I know how many. I know how many jobs I'm going to do to get 10K. So this one is not free money or gata or gata or Allah Rakwe. I'm working for. I have to use my own sense. Do you understand? Before I finally stopped it, because making money is not easy. And running a business in Nigeria is definitely not easy. So do you understand?
Okay,
So.
so since you stopped, do you feel confident that you will never use again?
I. Can't say. I don't know.
Do you still
I
have
don't know.
cravings once in a while?
Cravings. I have control over it now.
So
I don't
even
have
if you
cravings.
do it now, you can control it.
Yes, I can. If I have the money to do it now, but I wouldn't want to do it because it's not something you want to do and you'll stop doing it. I won't lie to you.
Wow. So now let me ask you this. Being a woman that, found herself doing drugs back then, were you how did men see you? Did you think people saw you as a terrible person? And the friends you lost back then, are they your friends again now? And do you trust them?
I still roll with all of my old friends because a lot of them don't judge me with my addiction because to everybody there's always a sweet side and there's always a bad side to everybody. So most of my friends are okay, this is our own bad side. Do you understand? That doesn't mean I don't have my own good side too. Do you understand? That doesn't mean can't sit together and talk about business or ways to make money or I it's not like I'm not that kind of person that just pushes drugs to the table all the time. There are other things, other several things we can talk about, other several fun activities we can have all my friends, all my old friends, even my colleagues then. Like I still have good relationship with almost all my friends. And there are some friends I felt they are not worth being around. So I had to let go of all of that. So I was still able to keep up with the old relationship I had.
Okay, so do you have any regrets from taking drugs? I know you said you have control over it now, and I know you said that sometimes you have the cravings, you know, but do you have regrets at all?
Yeah, I do. I feel drugs set me back.
They could have been better than this.
Of course.
Okay. So do you think the community, do you think Nigeria is helping people enough with drug abuse? Or do you think that everybody's just on their own?
I mean, I feel everybody's just looking for better escape to their own reality. Do you get so everybody knows what their escape is, their stress relief. I don't know. Everybody just has an escape. Some could be sex, some could be drugs, some could be parties, some could be drinks, and everyone has an escape. Some could be exercises. Do you understand? Some could be reading, some could be, I don't know. Everybody has an escape do you understand? To their own reality.
Okay, let me ask you maybe one or two more questions before we go. I know a lot of people, when I watch them on movies, and the ones that I have been friends with, or the ones that I have helped as well, before they quit taking drugs, they get to the point whereby they have nothing left on them financially, material-wise. Did you at any point think about selling your things, or did you sell your things, and were you broke, stark broke? Did you start borrowing money from people? Were you stealing? You know, all these things that addiction make you do. Did you actually find yourself doing all of that?
I never stole money to buy drugs.
Okay.
I never did prostitution to buy drugs. Yeah, I could borrow money to buy drugs then. I once sold my to buy drugs.
You once sold your what?
I once sold my iPhone 6S that I bought then when it was raining to buy drugs.
Oh, wow.
I traded for a 6,000 naira drug. So, yeah, I once sold my iPad to get drugs. So, oh. But I never stole to buy drugs.
Okay. So, would you also say that there are serious drug problems among the youth in Nigeria?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Anyway, been an amazing journey for you, and I just want to say I'm super proud of you, despite the fact that you're not perfect. Your addiction, the problem that you faced is not perfect. So I'm just going to let you know that if you ever find yourself doing this again, you have a choice. You know, you could go back to rehab, you could talk to me, you could talk to someone to get you out of it. But I am very, very proud of you, in all honesty. I've known you for a very long time, and I can categorically beat my chest and say you are my friend. So thank you so much for sharing this with me.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. So before you go, I'll just play a game on this podcast. So we're going to play a very small game. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm all ears.
Okay. So we'll start with, first of all, mathematics. Since you tried, but it's easy. Let's start with something as easy as 10 plus 5 is what?
15
plus 5?
20. 25 times 5.
Time has gone, madam.
I don't know.
Oh my God.
25 times 5.
125.
25. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So now let's just leave that at that. Anyway, thank you so much for joining. I really appreciate you so much coming in on this episode, Miss June. Sharing your story is definitely going to touch the life of someone out there, or even lives of people out there going through one struggle or the other with addiction. Do you have anything you want to say to anyone, you know, feeling like their life has ended because of what they're going through?
Just keep pushing. To everyone listening to this, just keep pushing, and try not to see yourself as a mess, because sometimes you just feel, I'm so messed up, I'm tired of everything. No one is messed up. Everybody has issues. Do you understand? So you're not alone.
Okay, thank
Stay
you so much.
at of whatever life throws at you, okay?
Thank you, Miss June. We really appreciate this. All right, so guys, this is the end of this episode, and today we got to talk about drug addiction experience and lots more. Even we dived into rehab, and this has been a very beautiful topic with my friend, my guest, Miss June. And I hope that you guys get to listen to more of this episode. If you want to listen to more, just keep scrolling. You will listen. Also, please do not forget to follow us on Instagram at mayitalk_. And also, you can listen on Spotify, you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on Anchor FM here as well, and every other streaming platform. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. I hope to have you again. God bless you and have a beautiful day.